Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
And we're back for another week, another episode. I'm joined, of course, by Meredith. And listen, before we get started, I want to ask a favor of you. If you ever listen to this podcast, and obviously you enjoy it because you're listening to it, and if you're new to it, we want to welcome you to it. But if you ever say, hey, I'd love to have more interaction, like to have a little bit more conversation, like to be able to get deeper into this, then we have a wonderful Facebook group that we just started recently, and we're growing slowly but surely, and we'd love to invite you to join our Facebook group. It's called Dental Business and Clinical Excellence, because it's very hard to be able to focus on clinical excellence without focusing on the business of your practice, and in my opinion, we shouldn't focus on the business of our practice without focusing on some clinical excellence for our patients. So the easiest way to get there is to do a search in Facebook for Dental Business and Clinical Excellence, or you can go to 3d-dentist.com/community, and that will take you there. And of course, while you're at the website for 3D Dentist, we'd love for you to go ahead and take a look at our courses, online courses and in-person courses, and see how we can help you out. So with all of that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Welcome back to the show. So
why would they not think it's you? I mean, you were just here a minute ago, and now it's you
here
again.
Here we are. So I think when you mentioned the Facebook group, that really made me think about what our biggest challenge is that we hear from people
right.
in the group. And they always say it's their staff.
Yeah.
So I thought, what better than to ask T-Bone what he thinks about staff?
Well, you know, I think staff is one of those things where, you know, I always... You know, it's, by the way, it's not something I made up. I mean,
right.
I'm just a little bit more boisterous about it than many others. I don't like calling it a staff. I like calling it a team. And it's semantics. And at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe it's a little bit of my culture because, you know, in India, we people have staffs.
Yeah.
Right. You know, at home, you have a house staff.
Right.
And I've always looked at a staff as people that serve you. Mm-hmm. That kind of are your servants to a certain degree. And it's not the environment I want to create, or it's not the thought process I want people to have. I want people to feel like we're part of a team. And having played sports growing up, I know it doesn't look like I do now, maybe an offensive lineman at best. There was something about the team culture. You know, there was something about being there for each other, being, you know, working towards a common goal, that I always thought it was super important to be a team. Mm-hmm. So in dentistry, I look at our team, you know, office staff as a team because
right.
each person has a unique role that, quite frankly, I don't want to fill. I don't want to scrape teeth. I don't want to
be an assistant. I certainly don't want to handle front office calls, you know?
Right.
So I think we have to understand that we are a team. And I think what happens, and the reason I bring it up to so many people about saying team versus staff, is I think it's the first step in a cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's referring to people not as my staff, but as my team or our team. Not right. even my team, our this. You know, and I try to very rarely talk about my practice, but I try to talk about our practice. And I think it's these subtle words, subtle things that people pick up on and help people see better about what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, let's get started on this week's episode then of 5 ways to fix your staff.
Yes.
So would you think that you can take a staff and turn it into a team with these foundational?
Well, you know, I think it's a good question, Meredith. Look, I don't think there's any magic bullet in anything. Okay,
right.
I don't think listening to this podcast is going to suddenly change your staff to a team. Or I think it hopefully ignites a fire.
Right, okay? To change the culture to create culture. A team.
Yeah, and why you say culture, let's think about that. You know, so often in dentistry we're hearing, you know, not even just business in general.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about how important it is to have a vision statement or your vision board and your mission statement and guiding principles and all these different things. And I'm just a believer that those things are important, but I don't think they're that important. And here's why, okay? I think culture trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have a good culture, I may have the best vision
right.
ever, but yeah. if I don't have a good culture in my practice,
it's to not share that vision,
it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, I may have the most unbelievable mission statement. We want to provide free dentistry for everybody in the world
right.
to never have a cavity exist again.
Yeah.
But if we have a bad culture, we're never going to get there.
Right.
So to me, I've always focused on culture, and I've never really gone past having, I've never really gone to the whole, let's have a deep vision, let's have a deep mission statement, because I've always focused on just keeping things very simple in life. And I think when you focus on the culture and you keep focusing on the culture, the vision, the mission, all of those things naturally take care of themselves. And as we'll kind of talk about through the 5 things, I think either way, your vision changes consistently, or it should
right.
be changing. But the culture in your practice, you know, once you have a good foundation there, it's phenomenal. So, you know, I think we're going to talk about 5 ways to fix your staff.
And, yeah.
And let's kind of move into that.
So the first one is what you just mentioned, clarify your foundation.
Yeah. So I use the word clarity and clarifying mm-hmm. very much. And look, I think ultimately, if you don't know where you're going,
how is everyone else supposed to know?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Meredith, do you want to get in the car with me? And I'm just, where are we going?
I don't really know.
I don't know. We're just going to drive for 10 hours.
Right.
Are we going to go 10 hours east? Well,
right.
that'll be in the ocean.
Yeah.
After about 2 to 3 hours, we'll be in the ocean.
Right.
Are we going to go 10 hours west, 10 hours north, 10 hours south? You know, are we going to go 10 hours in a plane? You know, I think it's so important to clarify where you're trying to be, okay? And, you know, I've said this probably in every episode in the last 10. I feel like a broken record over and over again, but clarify who you are. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, answer the simple question. Why are you doing dentistry?
Right.
You know, why is it? And be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, am I doing... Look,
hopefully it's not just to come to work every day.
Well, if that's...
But sometimes it gets there.
But if that's what it is, that's okay.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, look, I think a challenge that I face is I'm so in love with our profession.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, today versus 10 years ago, I'm less in love with the clinical part of it, but still in love with our profession.
Right.
You know, and... So that, you know, clarifying why you're doing something is so important. Am I doing something? Number one. So let's get to this. So am I doing dentistry to provide a living for my family? And if that's what you're doing, then you need to drown out the noise of sometimes of people like me. because I'm assuming that a good percentage of the people that I resonate with are into their profession because it's a career.
Mm-hmm. They want more.
Versus a job.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with making dentistry a job. There's just nothing wrong with it. And so, you know, I think you got to understand your why on that. I think the other part of that is it changes. Mm-hmm. You know, look, how about this? In the last 6 months, has it changed?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. No, you know, but I don't think anyone had a choice about that change.
But that's my whole point in this.
Right.
Is the way we were leading our team or what we expected of them is probably going to change.
Right.
Sometimes it's a short-term change. Sometimes it's a long-term change. And the reason I bring that up is because it's really more about it changes, mm-hmm. correct?
It's the seasons of life.
It is. Like, you know, I look at it, you know, I'm 44 and a half, you know, in my early 30s. My late 20s, I was focused on just paying the bills.
Right.
You know, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to, you know, I really remember, like 2003, 2004, I'm 3 or 4 years into my practice. It's doing good. You know, it's not great or anything. But I remember sitting there, says, I keep hearing from people that one day you wake up and you just stop worrying about paying your bills. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, I just can't wait to get there.
Yeah.
You know, everything that drove me was about that.
Right.
And then, you know, like, frankly speaking, take away the pandemic and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about paying the bills now.
But then people have kids and they have more bills.
You know, I got three kids.
Married.
And you get married.
Yeah.
And you know, so that changes. And, right. And as that changes, so, you know, Mona has forced me to work less.
Right.
You know, I used to be able to say, oh, I'll go in the office on Saturday, Sunday. We got no kids. Spend a couple of hours in there, get the paperwork done. And then, you know, my season of life changed.
Right.
And so that changes the culture and it changes how you lead your team mm-hmm. and it changes, you know, the words that you say to them. So you got to get clear about who you're trying to be. And I know it's a generic statement, but it is so important to be able to say something like that.
Yeah. And if you don't communicate these things to your team, then if it's not communicated to the team, the patients, the community, just everyone, then you're not on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, another part about that is how often do people communicate their plans to their community?
Right.
You know, and I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's important to let our patients know and our potential patients know what type of culture we stand for.
So I saw something the other day, an office shared that they would be going to their summer hours.
Right.
Starting next week. So they were going to be 7 to 3. Usually they're 7 to 6 or 7 to 5. In the summer, they go 7 to 3. So I think that shows their culture that they want their team, the doctors, everyone to get off early to be able to enjoy the summer, spend time with their families. Their kids are probably mostly out of school. And then that shows to the community that they're still there for them.
Yeah, balanced office.
But yes, they still have other priorities as well.
Or maybe they live in a beach town and nobody shows up.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's out on the beach.
Who knows? But that's a great example, mm-hmm. right? Is whatever it is your foundation is, right? You know, I think you gotta sing from the rooftops or sing from the mountaintop that this is who we are. Right. You know, I use an example of my oral surgeon, Uday. I remember, I think it was 2007 when he first moved back here after finishing his residency. Mm-hmm. And he says, I want to build a implant practice. And I said, well, how are you going to do that? I'm just going to call it implant practice. So he called it Triangle Implant Center.
Right.
And he says, if you say it and spray it enough, it's what you become.
Right.
And so for example,
As long as you communicate it, you get it out there.
And so think about that. When's the last time you, as the listener, sat down and said, this is what I want our practice to be known for? Mm-hmm. And then communicate that to your team, communicate that to your community. And, you know, it starts with communicating it to yourself. So you got to get very clear internally. It is so important. You cannot be a good leader if you are not clear inside about what you're trying to accomplish.
Right. That destination of where you want to be. You can give them a path, but if they don't know where they're going, then it's hard for the team to keep up because they just kind of feel lost.
Let's give you last example on this. Okay. A personal one. It has become important to my family, Mona more than anybody else, that I start work at 10 o'clock.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it was 9, so you could take the kids to school. Now it's 10, so we can take the kids to school, then go to the gym.
Well, that's the whole point, right? Is we've reached a point in our life where missing that hour of work isn't as important. But it's one thing to just come in and say, oh, he's not going to work till 10 o'clock, or I'm not going to work till 10 o'clock anymore. But to give the foundational reasoning behind it. Because I'll tell you what, if I just said I'm going to start work at 10, I'm afraid that people are going to think I'm lazy or that I'm becoming lazy or I'm not in it to win it anymore. And that'll affect my team.
Right.
But instead, when, you know, and Mona does a better job of communicating this than me, when she comes in and says, hey, listen, he's still going to get up. He's going to go drop the kids at school. Then he's going to go to the gym. And then they all said, that's all we need to know.
Yep.
But not that we need permission, but then they're in it.
Right.
So when
you feel supported.
Or when I say, hey, I'll be happy to see this patient at 8 o'clock. They say, no, you have to go to the gym.
Yeah. And then soon he's going to be trying to get out of the gym. So he's going to be more than willing to accept those 8 a.m. patients.
But they're not going to let me, right?
Nope.
To a certain degree.
Right. They're supporting you.
Right. And that's my example of
a team.
Of that team.
Right.
Why did I, you know, it's like when I went 7 to 6. Why did I wanted to try it.
Right.
And I didn't say, hey, we're going to 7 to 6. I thought through it and I kind of had a good sales pitch behind it. Like, hey, listen, I know it's going to be a little bit tough. I just want you to give me 6 months. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. If we don't like it, we'll reassess. I didn't say we'd go back.
Yeah.
We'll just reassess.
Right.
And so that's important. So clarify your foundation of who you are, why you're there, what type of dentistry you want to do, you know, what kind of patients you want. Mm-hmm. You know, my good friend Christian Yeast and Charlotte, you know what his practice is called? It's called adult dentistry.
Yeah.
So if you have that sign, what does that tell you?
He doesn't want to see children.
he's not his preferred, right?
Right.
There's a dentist down the road, their practice is called Carolina Implant.
Right.
What does that tell you?
They're doing implants.
Right. You know, there's a plastic surgeon that says we're facial plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So what do you think of?
Right.
You know, so it's okay for the things to change. What I did in 2001 to 2010 is not what I'm doing in 2020 to 2025. And part of what we got to do is we got to spread that word to our team members and our community and what we need them to change or how we need things to go to support that change moving forward.
Yeah. So our first way to fix your staff is to clarify your foundation. And our second way is to fix your firing.
Yeah. So did that surprise you when I wrote that down?
A little bit, but then again, how many times have we said people are the problem, but they're also the solution? So finding the right people, the right fit, I think is tough. Sometimes we hang on to people too long.
Well, here's my take on this.
To try to make it work.
Yeah, here's my take on this is I don't believe, I don't think we're spending enough time, we're spending too much time on trying to hire the right person.
Right.
Or trying to fix our hiring. But what questions do you ask? I don't know. Yeah. I just go in, I look at it, do I get a good feeling? And I firmly believe it's not who you hire, it's who you fire. Mm-hmm. And here's the analogy, okay? You're not the right person to ask this to or use this example, but maybe it is. Let's go back to like eighth grade maybe. Did you try to find the perfect boyfriend in 10th grade that like, hey, this is who I'm going to marry?
No. I trained him. Actually, this is a great question because I totally picked one and I trained him. It took me 10 years, well, but I trained him well.
Well, you know, you got away with it. Right. But, you know, I try to use hiring. Hiring is like dating.
It is, yeah.
And Mona, this, my, again, a very personal story here, is Mona thought I was the cleanest, most organized person when we first met. And here's why. And I didn't do it. I did it even before her, but I did this. Is I hired somebody to clean my apartment twice a week. Once a week, and they would always come on Thursday before Mona would show up.
Yeah.
So I always had my apartment clean on Thursday before the weekend in case I had friends or Mona or other women over.
We know better.
We do know better. And then I had a car wash membership where I would go to get my car washed every week.
Yeah.
And so every time Mona saw me or came to visit me, my house, my apartment was clean. Mm-hmm. The laundry was done. The clothes were folded or hung up. My car was always clean. And the analogy, the reason I bring that up is because at the end of the day, we can lie and cheat through a couple of months.
Those types of things.
A couple of months, right? Yeah. You know, but the real self eventually comes up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm 5.5 years in. You think I should hire someone to come clean my desk?
You should. But my point in that is don't get fixated on who you hire.
Right.
Get fixated on who you fire. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't love the word fire. You know, I'd rather use the word
outgrown.
Move on.
Yeah.
You know, let them go somewhere else. And because for several reasons. One, as I mentioned, I can meet you the first time and you can be on your best behavior.
Right.
You can seem like a great fit. You know, there's a novelty effect. It's kind of like how many of you have dated somebody and they seem like the person. Right. And then like a month in, you're like, God, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
You know, the crazy hot matrix. Yeah. They became a Tiffany. So, you know, that's one part of it. The other part of it is we need to focus more on letting people go. And I speak from this from personal example, because, you know, you've been around me long enough now to know that I tend to have a tendency to hold on to people.
Yeah. You just don't like to.
Yeah. I don't like to be mean. I always look at it internally, but a bad apple can really ruin your practice.
Toxic.
It's toxic. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be a little bit quicker to get rid of, to do that. And then, you know, at the end of the day, somebody that may come in and seem nervous and seem meek and seem, you know, not outgoing, just may be nervous.
Right. Well, you know? They don't open up until.
Yeah. They just may see, God, if I, you know, my thing was like, you know, I'll meet people and they'll be nervous and they'll be talking a lot. And I'm like, God, he or she talks a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking like, it's only going to get more
right.
when they get more comfortable. And, you know, I've had you and other people say, well, they could just be nervous. And when they get nervous, they just talk a lot. People don't like a lot of silence. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's, you gotta be a little bit quicker about firing people. You know, and focus on that versus focusing on who you hire or your hiring process. You know, your hiring process, trying to find that perfect hire is an exercise in paralysis from analysis. because no perfect hire exists. Yeah. You've got to experiment. You got to go on a lot of dates. You got to bring a lot of people in. You know, I'm a believer in keeping your ad out even after you hire somebody, because they may not like you. You may not like them. And, you know, all of those things. The other part of it that, and I think I probably go a little overboard on this part of it, is the other part of it is I try not to be on my best behavior when I'm interviewing somebody. Mm-hmm. I actually try to be, I don't want to say my worst self, but a little bit worse than my normal self when I'm interviewing people.
So that they expect better, or so they don't expect better?
No, so that they know what it is, right?
What it's really like.
You know, it's like when we've had some interviews come through and I'm not the one doing it, and mm-hmm. they talk about how great the place is and how rosy it is.
Right.
And I almost feel bad because I'm like, this person has to know we're lying.
Yeah.
Right? Or
I don't know. I don't think I really talked to you for the first 6 months. I think I was scared and I didn't really have an interview.
Well, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, somebody has to think, like, this can't be true.
Real. It's too good to be true.
It's like Facebook, right? When I see people that come on and say, oh, I have the best life. My wife and I are in love. We hold hands. We have a good emotional connection. My team is awesome. I make so much money. I've got this diversity, that. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, that's a lie.
That's not true. Yeah. You can't have it all. It's
or,
not fair.
Or whatever you have, you should be a trillionaire.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to teach that to everybody else.
Right.
And do it. Nobody is that perfect. Mm-hmm. And no office is that perfect. So I'll give some examples, okay? Like, I have a tendency, outside of the patient arena, I have a tendency to curse a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I curse.
Yeah.
You know, I'll use the words like the S word and the damn word. And
see how they take it.
See how they take it, right. You know. And so that's important to me, because I don't want to be surrounded by people that take offense to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay if you disagree with it and don't want to participate, but I don't want that person that takes great offense to that.
Yeah.
The other thing I like is I like to make slightly inappropriate comments, right? And it starts off as slightly, but it's important to me.
Yeah.
And it's not in a creepy way or anything. It's just,
but that's just you, and if they can't take it, then they're probably not someone you want to keep around.
Right, because I don't want to, because at the end of the day, the name on the door is mine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And so.
And you are HR, right? I think he gave up that job because it was too much work. He didn't want to do it anymore.
I am the judge, though.
Yeah.
I am the mediation.
Yeah.
But I don't want to walk into an office where I feel like I can't be me.
Right.
You know? And so that's important to me. So
yeah.
So I do those things. Like, the classic story I say is like when I interviewed Lori. You know, my first question to her is, how do you feel about the F word? And she goes, well, if you want to use it, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
She goes, I choose not to use that word, but you're welcome to use it. I've grown up around brothers all my life. And I'm like, great. Then that's first step, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, we've had people where I talk about, you know, I don't talk about politics nearly as much as I used to,
uh-huh.
because it's so polarizing now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, I upfront ask people, you know, what do you feel about family members working in the office?
Mm-hmm.
Because some people have a real big problem with the dentist's wife, although, by the way, more than 50% of dentists are female now.
Yeah. Dentist spouse. I know the there's some husbands that work in offices.
Right. They don't like that.
Yeah.
And so my wife works in the office, not in my practice, but in the building.
Right.
And she's
mm-hmm.
just as involved in my practice as I am.
More.
More.
Thankfully.
She's the HR. She's fixing my HR problems, right? So I think you got to focus on your firing process.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing about the hiring process that I would encourage people to do is experiment a little bit more, give people a chance, and be very upfront and honest with who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a person, who the team is as a person. You know, don't tell people, I really want to hire this person. Be on your best behavior. You never heard that out of
no.
me. I'm like, just be you guys. Be the worst of you.
So would you say you'd rather hire someone who you think is a better fit person versus someone who has tons of experience or has been doing something you want? So it would take more training, right? But you think the person's a better fit.
You know, I would say that in my first 20 years, I've erred on the side of hiring the right cultural fit and then being able to train and teach people what I want. It has come to hurt me in our front office position. Hence, we only have one person right now. And our combined dental front office experience is 2 years now. But I'll still stand by it. It's gotten me to this point. I rather have the right people with the right attitudes. You know, I'll use you as an example. If I said, hey, Meredith, we need to go assist patients, what would you say?
Okay.
If
I said, wear my athletic wear?
You know, if
that would probably be my...
Or, hey, Meredith, I need you to cover the front of the practice right now.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, that's more important. That's one of the important things to me, is being able to be comfortable to ask anything of somebody because I'm comfortable with them asking anything of me.
Right.
And to me, so that's an important part of it to me. It's part of the culture, but that's part of my personality.
Yes.
And I think one of the things I didn't make clear, I think the culture of the practice should be the personality of the owner.
Right.
Okay. I really think it should be the personality of the owner, because at the end of the day, it's your practice. You own it, you pay for it.
Well, and that's what fits, right?
Now, when you when your personality is a problem and you want to survive, then you got to adjust and change. And you know, the same thing for me. I tell everybody, you know, Mona gives me a hard time about some of my comments, and occasionally she'll look at the texts I send people and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, that's really inappropriate. I go, when it becomes a problem, I promise you I'll stop. You know, and not because I'm doing it in that creepy way.
Yeah.
But it's just...
You think it's... You're a teenage boy and you think it's funny.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I want to share that with people. And I want people around me who like that kind of stuff.
And we're your only friends.
And pretty much outside of my podcast community, you're my only friends.
All right. So for our five ways to fix your staff, we have talked about clarifying your foundation, fixing your firing. And our third topic is communication, coaching, and training.
Yeah, this one's important. I would argue that I'm going to say it's all important, but this one's really important. And you know, in our millennial mastermind, it's you know, there's some very important things that we try to convey to our young, early practice owners in that. But I think one of the most important things that I try to train young dentists, and it's young. I say this as a young dentist because you've got so many years of this, and that's creating an environment where you talk to people, you know, so I don't know when I started this. It's naturally, but now again, coming back to when you hire people, I tell people if you don't sit down and talk to me every day for 5 minutes, you know, for the first month that you're here, we probably aren't going to make it,
right?
And Meredith, that's on you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason is it's not admonishment, or it's not this long drawn out conversation, although I've let them turn into that sometimes. But it's creating that environment where we can have a conversation.
Yeah.
Where we can have a connection. And what I mean by that connection is when we, like, you'll tell your friends when they bother you, correct?
Yes.
Or if they do something in, you know, that bothers you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you get to a point where you become comfortable.
Right.
Because what you believe is that your friendship or your connection is stronger than to let this get in the way.
Right.
And I want to establish that with my team members.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to say, Meredith, you're annoying me today.
Mm-hmm.
Or Meredith, today's a bad day. I apologize. Just stay away. You know, or I want you to have that return feeling that you can say, hey, listen, that was out of line, you know, and know that my face may say, why the hell are you talking to me that way? But my heart is going to say that you've got my best interests at heart.
Yeah.
So I think that's super important to create this. So what I tell people is train your team members to have a responsibility to spend 5 minutes with you every week, unplanned. Like, in other words, I'm walking by your office, you seem to be semi-free, do it.
Yeah. Now, it's hard to find those times.
Well, but it doesn't, but then that's the excuse, right?
Right.
Oh, you seem busy. I always tell you, it doesn't matter what I look like. Well, I can tell you what's most important.
Yeah.
My practice.
Mm-hmm.
you know, my email is not important. My Amazon or ordering.
Sometimes you can talk while you're working. Yeah. You know?
And so, you know, I joke that I do this a lot with Melissa. I always tell Melissa, just sit there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because.
You just sit there till he turns and looks at you and gives you the okay.
I don't want to come across like, you know, I'm the Wizard of Oz.
No, it's like more like The Bachelor is what I used to tell him. Then it made his head too big. But literally, there's like four girls lined up. Is it my turn yet? Is it my turn yet? But everyone realized if you didn't do it, it doesn't work.
And that because that's yeah. my personality. Right. And the reason I tell people just sit there because if it's really important to you, you'll sit there.
Yeah.
And if it's not that important, you'll leave.
Right.
Right. And that's one way I use to, like, is this going to be something that's not important?
Right.
Or, you know, or this is something that's that important. And the other thing it does is, at least, again, I just speak from my personal experience, mm-hmm. is I figure if somebody's there and they stick around a little bit, they really want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right. And whether it's important or not important, but they're committed to that action. And mm-hmm. So that's important to me. So I use Melissa as the example in that.
You call her the squeaky wheel.
She is a squeaky.
Because she keeps coming back.
But her personality is not that, by the way, when she started.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So would I have gotten as much out of her if we didn't have that relationship?
No. You know, you probably would not know her very well.
I bet you money I would have let her go.
Yeah.
Because I would have been like, this girl's annoying.
Yeah.
You know, so. It's so important to create that environment where you can talk to people and people can talk to you and all of those things. So every week I try to have team members sit down with me 4 or 5 minutes. Sometimes it's like, hey, I'm going to go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say that, but why don't you ride with me to pick up?
Yeah.
You know, I'll buy you lunch or whatever. I don't care. Or sometimes it's like, hey, I'm
going to walk.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to go for a walk. Yeah. Hey, let's go sit outside. Or
come stand by this room and talk to me while I'm cleaning this room.
Yeah, or hey, this patient's sedated. Come talk to me while I'm there. You know, and so certainly with my assistants, it's very easy. With the hygienists, it's a little bit easier. The front office people and the ancillary people, people that you don't interact with on a regular basis are the harder ones.
Or you don't have a set schedule with.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I would argue that none of us have a set schedule.
Yeah. No, not anymore.
I just mean for
a hygienist to try to catch you. Maybe your appointment's an hour and a half appointment. Their appointments are hours. So when they have 5 minutes in between, you know,
My 5 minutes. Right. You know, you just don't know.
So sometimes it's in the morning. Now we have a lunch. We didn't have a lunch break for a while.
One of the problems of not having a lunch break.
Yeah. But. So now we are having lunches again, which I think is really nice. We're all sitting together, but that's with everyone. So then it's kind of like a group chat.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another part of that is. I think this is important. I know some people are like, oh, how do you make up the production? We schedule an afternoon off every month.
Yeah.
You know, one afternoon off from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock or 1 mm-hmm. o'clock to 4 o'clock or whatever it is, where it's a coaching session.
Yeah.
It's a training session. It's not a meeting. Okay. Right. It's not a meeting where we meet
numbers and talk.
Let's talk about
there's a purpose
like so far for the last 3 months we focused on going over cases
let's walk
through treatment planning and cases and communication and verbiage and all of those things. You know, the last time we did it we talked about how we moving into this pandemic. You know, I mm-hmm. sat down with people. I said, hey, listen, we need to file unemployment. I need you to call your mortgage brokers. I need you to do this because I want people to get prepared for all of this. And then we had one of these when we got back. You know, like, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. What are your thoughts? Let's get it out in the open. You know, that's coaching to me. Mm-hmm. That's coaching. Coaching is a two-way street.
Right.
Okay. Coaching isn't yelling at people, although sometimes I do lose my temper a little bit. But coaching is a two-way street where people grow from what you say to them and people grow from what they're able to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. I would say it's one of the secrets in our office that people feel comfortable to express themselves to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that way they feel confident that they can say, okay, I can say what I want to him.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. And for the most part, it is.
Not everyone likes that.
No, not everybody. But it's important.
It is.
You know, we don't have a choice. So the other part of this would be, I've talked about this before, there's a thing called the accountability dial from Jonathan Raymond. I would encourage everybody to, if you go on YouTube, you can search for his video. He has a great video on how to use the accountability dial. He has a great book. He has some good podcasts that he's been a guest of. I'd love to get him on our podcast one day to talk about it. Maybe I have to buy some books to give away or something. I don't know. But, you know, and the thing that I like the most that he said is he says make mention. You know, it happens to be step one in the accountability dial. Too often what we do is we wait for things to fester. Right? And so he teaches the concept of making mention. You know, real quick, hey, Meredith, that didn't seem to go perfectly for me, you know, for us. You know, let's, you know, I'd like to find time for us to sit down and talk about that.
But like now, after a consult.
Yeah. Or something didn't go right. Let's make mention of it. Yeah. Or, hey, Meredith, you know, I prefer for you not to say the old Matrix band.
Yeah,
I know you. I know we're not talking about used ones,
right?
But you know, I don't want to have patients to ever think we're using old, used, or old technology with them.
Yeah,
you know, I rather use words like original.
Yeah.
Okay, because nobody calls it the old Coke, do they?
Right.
They call it Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah.
Or the original Coke.
Would you like the classic Matrix? Yeah.
Would you like the classic Matrix fan?
Because let me go find it.
Who
for
doesn't
you.
Want a classic these days, right?
Right.
So things like that. So the other other component is the coaching habit. I've talked about that book from Michael Bungay Stanier, and to me, it's super important. Some of the best coaching times I have with people is I try not to talk. I know that's hard for me.
Yes.
So if I can do it, anybody can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. But I want the team member to do most of the talking. You know, like, hey, I'd like to try this. Tell me about that. Why you want to do that? What are you hoping to accomplish? Tell me what the problem that's going to solve.
Yeah.
And let them talk to them. And I call that creating critical thinking. And then the environment of safe to fail. Part of communication and coaching and training is having that environment where you tell people it's okay to fail. I always use your example, right? Where we tried that thing, and I was so happy to do it. In fact, we need to do it again. So, and what I'm talking about here is Meredith put together an evening party. I think it was about Invisalign.
Yeah, it was Invisalign and whitening night.
Yeah.
But it was planned for the first week of school, and I didn't know because I don't have children.
I didn't know. Who knows if that was the reason? We had a lot of people RSVP, but we only had a handful of people actually show up outside of ourselves, and everybody was so worried that I was mad, and I was proud. I was proud. We did it.
I mean, it was like a fun group night. You know, we could use that as our monthly hangout.
So, so that's important. So, you know, we got to communicate, coach, and train.
And that empowers your employees to act like the owners when you're coaching and they're giving you the feedback of what they want. You end up, they end up setting their own goals and things that you wouldn't have even thought to put on them because, you know, you don't know what they're thinking and where they're wanting to move forward. So you get, I think you get a lot out of that.
I do. And, you know, I think, I don't know if you noticed the other day while we're out looking at cars for Mona, Meredith has to go with me now.
I have to babysit.
You have to my Fanny, right?
Adult babysit.
Fanny, female nanny. Female adult nanny. I had said to you in the car that, Meredith, 2 years from now, you need to own your own business.
Yeah.
And we need to do it together.
Yeah.
And so that's see, that conversation doesn't happen if you don't get together with people.
Right.
And you don't have an open line of communication. They don't have to go car shopping with you necessarily. But
it is a fun way to spend the day. I mean, we didn't drive a single one, but we tested them all. we sat in every single one of them.
I'm like, I don't need to drive this.
Except for the big truck. I was like, that's what you need. And T-Bone was like, how do you get up in this one? Is there a ladder?
my arthritis is not going to work with that. So
Okay. So for our five ways to fix your staff, we have clarified your foundation, fixed your firing, communicated, coached, and trained. And now, I think this one's pretty important. Lead by example.
Why do you say it's pretty important?
Because I think it's just a quick way for everything to go downhill. You can say, but if you don't practice what you preach, then everyone's just going to follow that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah, so a couple of pet peeves of mine.
Yeah.
Okay, my wife breaks it every day.
Yes.
I don't. I believe that we serve our customers first, mm-hmm. okay? So our customers should get the best parking spots.
Right.
It drives me insane to see the dentist, wherever I go to somebody's office, to see their car right in front of the office.
Yes. It
drives me nuts because that's a patient spot.
Because if you can walk, they can walk.
Well,
if you're parking at the back, then there's no reason they need to park up front.
Shit, I don't move my car.
Yeah, you know, right, all day.
All day. But, yeah. You know, multiple patients could have that convenience mm-hmm. of being there.
That's true.
And number two, patients know which car is mine or not mine.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I don't want to be like front and center.
Obvious.
You know, obvious about it, right? So that drives me nuts. So mm-hmm. I try to lead by example of parking in the back row,
uh-huh.
okay, because that's where we should park.
Yeah.
The other area I try to lead by example is walking in and out of the back door.
Yep.
I'm real weird about mm-hmm. that. You know, even right now in Corona time, you know, I'm like, yeah, where are we going to go? I'm like, we're going to go to lunch. And people like walk. I'm like this because I don't want to be seen by patients leaving or coming right. or any of that stuff. And quite frankly, I don't want to get caught having to talk to people.
That, and especially right now with having to change and all of mm-hmm. that. Leaving in and out through the front and patients being like, oh, well, they're leaving. Where are they going? Are they bringing something back in?
Right.
It's just easier to avoid all
so
of that.
So I've always been about going out the back door mm-hmm. so patients don't see us. And it drives me nuts if we don't. Here are the times it's acceptable.
That's probably the biggest thing I knew about you. Like when people would start, I'd be like, he's really weird about it. Just make sure you don't ever go through the front door.
Unless it's snowing.
It's like pouring down rain, snowing, thunderstorming. Go out the back door.
Yeah, because it's weird, right?
Yeah.
And so I want people to have that. And the other thing that I think healthcare professionals are really bad at is being on time.
On time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those things. I've sent people home. I've kicked people out of our morning huddle.
Morning meetings yeah. multiple times. Yeah.
So listen, if you can't be here, don't be here.
I mean, they have three kids. You know, he doesn't care.
I don't care. You know, or how about this? You tell me in advance.
Right.
You know, tell me in advance. And so to me, that's important is lead by example. You know, I'll give another example. I like playing golf. And when I was younger, I worked for a DSO down in mm-hmm. Apex, and in the summertime, you could play golf after work because it didn't get dark till 8 o'clock.
Right.
So I would tell the team at the time, probably more staff at the time, that, hey, if we don't have that last patient, I'm going to head out of here and go play golf.
Right.
And it's amazing how we never had a 4 o'clock patient.
Because then they realized they could leave too.
Then they would have me gone and they could either leave early, they could do whatever it was. So I'm a big believer in being on time. And mm-hmm. that starts at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. It's something I've gotten on Dr. Fiza about before.
Yeah.
Listen, if our team starts at 6:45, we're there before them.
Yeah.
We're not walking in at 6:44.
Right.
Because that to me is late, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you need to be ready to go at 6:45. Your mind's together, the day's together, you know, your computers
set
are turned
everything
on,
up.
Whatever
yeah.
it is, right? And so however long it takes you to put your face on, to get your bacon warmed up.
We do that on the way to work.
Whatever it
yeah,
is.
In the car on the way.
You know, whatever it is, get that done.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to lead by example. And that example sets the tone, you know, it sets the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example of some ways that, how about this? If somebody came and said, hey, do you mind seeing somebody at 5 o'clock for me? What would my answer be?
Oh, if, you know, if it was an emergency, of course.
Of course, right?
Yeah.
So leads by example, right?
Right.
So what happens, you know, I see.
Right, you say 5 o'clock and you go, oh, I don't want to. Then the team goes, oh, me neither.
Right, and I get people online, you know, I'll see them in the social media community. They go, yeah, my team member didn't want to, you know, see this patient. I'm like, well, that's because it starts with you.
Right.
You know, just don't ask.
Oh, one of my favorite things is somebody said, they asked me, how would they get their team to do payment plans? I said, what do you mean? We can walk you through how to set up a payment plan. This was actually one of your friends. So I said, you know, I can talk them through how to set up payment plans and blah, blah, blah. And he says, no, how do I get the team to do it? And I said, we just teach them. He says, no, they told me they weren't going to do it. I said, what? What do you mean they told you they weren't going
to
do it?
But see, to me, that comes from a cultural, that comes from the foundation, right?
Yeah.
And part of that foundation is leading by example.
Right.
Empty threats. It's like I get on my wife about this with the kids
children.
all the time.
Yeah.
Like we can't say to them, I'm going to count to three.
Oh, my mom was the queen of empty threats.
You know, I'm not going to say I'm going to count to three and beat your ass and then not beat your ass, you know?
But you're not going to do it.
Oh, yeah, I will, 100%.
Dads will, the moms won't.
Well, in my family, it was my mom that was like that.
Yeah.
My dad was more lenient than my mom.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, or how about this? I created a culture that we just don't say no to patients.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went too far. I'm like, when do I get a lunch?
Yeah, then you had no lunch. You're working until 7. You're there at 7. You know, we're coming in early. Then it's a sedation appointment, so we're getting there at 6:30.
Yeah. So, you know, it works both ways. So you got to create this. You can't be late to work, and you know, you can't go play golf or tennis because the next thing you know, that's going to be every day.
Right.
You know, and that's a... I don't
know.
That's
the retirement lifestyle.
Well, but
with a little bit of work.
But even then, here's what I say is if I say I'm going to be at the office from this time to this time, I'm going to be there from this time to this time.
Yeah.
And whether we have patients or not.
Right.
Because it sets that tone. It sets a level of integrity. And I think in today's workforce environment, we have to set a higher level of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you do as the owner sets the culture, the integrity, and the tone of the day. And that tone of the day is an area that I've got to be better in.
Yeah.
You know, I walk in with a bad attitude some days, and it just permeates through the whole office.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get in a good attitude like an hour later, and I'm like wondering, why is everybody in a bad attitude?
Right. Why is everyone being mean?
Because I scare the shit out of them, you know? We got to lead by example, you know. Uh-huh. Any other examples of leading by example?
Not really an example, but I think the work ethic rubs off too.
Yeah.
That's something, I think that kind of goes with, you know, it's not always necessarily staying late, but just, I guess, putting all of it in when you're there.
Yeah. You know, I remember, it's very vivid to me, actually. We bought that building in 2008. I don't know if you ever heard this story. We bought our office building that we're in now in 2008, and money was certainly very tight. And so I had, and I don't like asking people for things very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked the team, I said, hey, I don't think we can get this office ready in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys mind coming in on the weekend? And a few people said no to me.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't say anything to them because it's their right to say no.
Right.
So me, Mona, and her sister worked all day and night over the weekend to get that whole place cleaned up and ready
set
to go.
Up. Yeah.
And so when they walked in that Monday morning, they looked at it like, wow. I said, yeah, man, whatever it takes. I will not ask you to do anything I'm unwilling to do myself.
Right.
Or I'll be up front. I'm like, I don't do physical labor.
Yeah. I was going to say, my husband says the same thing. He'll hire somebody, pay them less, and then put them on the machine, and he'll be the one doing the hard work. I'm like, why are you doing that? Yeah. But he's like, I don't want people to think that I'm better than them or I can't do what they're, what yeah. I'm asking them to do.
So, you know, I think it's so important to lead by example. So
yeah.
little things like where you park, mm-hmm. what time you come back from lunch, you know, are you showing up a little bit late? You know, are you setting the tone or the example that it's okay to be a little bit late? You know, are you coming in and out the front door? Because it's, I can't tell you guys to go out the back door. And then where do I go out?
Right.
The front door. That's yeah. total BS.
Right.
You know, so I think whatever rules exist for you, exist for me.
Yeah.
And there are times where I'll be like, yeah, that rule doesn't work for me. And that's right. okay. And people should understand yeah. that, right? But for the most part, I'd say 90% of what we do in the office, if it's a rule for you, it's a rule for me.
Right.
So it's no difference.
Yeah,
so.
And don't feel bad setting those rules. I think a lot of times people get close and then they don't want to set it's more of an expectation and not necessarily yeah. a rule. But I mean, how close are we? Me, Megan, and Liz can be at lunch and we're like, we gotta run. Like we know we can't be late, but and it's not, what are you gonna do? You're not gonna fire us, no. but we know that's the expectation and we don't want to disappoint.
Yeah.
So I think people sometimes fail to set those expectations and then it kind of just becomes chaos a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
So that's one of the things that leading by example shows. So our last way to fix your staff, we have clarify your foundation, fix your firing, communicate, coach, and train, lead by example, and then create an environment of feedback. So we talked about this a little bit, but how do we create the environment of safe feedback?
Well, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to learn not to, you got to learn to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, just let somebody talk
mm-hmm.
and you got to encourage it.
Yeah.
You almost have to demand it in yeah. a way. So, you know, I'll be like, Meredith, what do you think of this idea?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you have to pry it out a little bit.
Right.
Of, people.
Of course. And I think.
Because they're hesitant to tell you.
I think it's one of the most, some of the biggest comments we get about when I speak or train is that we create that environment of dialogue.
Right.
And it doesn't, to a certain degree, it happens naturally. But there are times where you got to do it, and you got to do it early.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. How about this? If I have a 2-day seminar and I say there's no questions,
that's what you would like.
And
to
then
do.
No. And then no. about halfway through, I'm like, all right, now you got to have questions. You've already set the tone that there's no questions. You know, so
that just makes me laugh because what kind of training would that be?
Exactly. And so, what kind of work environment
right.
would it be? If someone's not able to tell you that you were out of line, how many times has Megan told me
yeah.
I've been out of line?
Right.
How many times has Liz told me
uh-huh.
I've been out of line?
Yeah.
You know, how many times has, you know, and here's what I'll say. There have been times, like Whitney, number one, is not so comfortable telling me certain things,
uh-huh.
but she'll tell somebody else.
Yeah.
So they tell me, right? And I've learned to not get mad at that because
that's how it gets back. That's how it gets
back
to
me.
Yeah.
Right?
And you do want it to get to you.
I want it.
Yeah.
I want to know.
So one thing when you just said, you know, what do you think of this? And, you know, somebody doesn't want to go, well, it sucks.
Yeah.
They go, well, it's okay. And you're like, well, what was okay about it?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. Is
you know, and sometimes that's what I'm saying where sometimes you have to pry it out.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to ask those specific questions, not just what do you think?
I think that's my training with Mona. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
What does okay mean? Tell me more about okay.
How do you feel?
How was your day? Good. Tell me more about good. What is good?
Yeah.
You know? And so you've got to create this environment of feedback because we don't get anywhere without a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like think about it this way. How many times have quarterbacks changed the play that the coach called?
Right. Well, I don't play those kinds of sports.
I know that, but.
But lots, yeah.
Lots, right? And the coaches accept that, right?
Yeah.
But you earn that and you build that. You build that, hey, I noticed this. And I keep always saying, you know, tell me what made you think that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not as in like, what made you think that? But,
yeah.
You know, tell me what were you thinking?
Right.
You know, why did you want to do that? You know, hey, like I'll give an example. I'll give an example. Say, so somebody calls, sorry, somebody will say to me, hey, what do you think about extending a discount to this patient? Mm-hmm. I won't say yes or no. I'll just say, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. And then they'll say,
well,
yes.
I was thinking this.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me, I mean, why? Are you comfortable yeah. with that? What would you do if you're in my position? Mm-hmm. And then see what that does is that creates that environment where it's safe to fail.
Yeah.
You know, it's important. It's no different than with classes, right? It's, hey, what do you think about this offer? I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm not big on discounts and stuff like yeah. that, but I think our classes are very fairly priced as it is. But, you know, I think it's that feedback loop.
Yeah.
You know, it's that two-way street. It can't be people scared of you.
Yeah.
People have to respect you.
Right.
You know, people have to... I always say I have to put my boss pants on.
Yeah.
Because I hate...
I know.
I hate being the boss yeah. sometimes.
Another yeah. way, if you're not as close, if you're not as comfortable giving that feedback, you could do like a rating. So you could say like, okay, if something's good, well, how did you think that was on a scale of 1 to 5 or a yeah, scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
That way it's not as maybe awkward if you're not, yeah. you know, I mean, I'm sure tons of new assistants out there yeah. who don't feel comfortable telling a doctor. I'm sure there's some doctors out there who don't want to hear an assistant tell them that wasn't good.
Well, that's but part it's of
not,
the problem.
But yeah, yeah, it's not necessarily the clinical things, though. Sometimes it's the verbiage, the bedside manner, right. the total patient care. Like, so, ooh, that was a little rough, you know? Yeah. I'm not saying your dentistry is not good. I'm just saying your mannerisms were a little rough.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, especially for men, they don't even notice that they're being a little rough.
You know, let's not on the rough side, yeah. but when Dr. Fiza came to our office,
uh-huh.
you know, when he came from another office, their culture of what things were is different from our culture.
Right.
And it's not that the culture was bad because I know where he worked.
Yeah.
It's a great culture.
Right.
But our patients weren't accustomed to that
level,
right?
Yeah,
you know, and so you know that feedback loop is so important. Right. It's like I tell people, you got to tell them.
And I think in the beginning we were like, is it okay for us to say to him, "Oh, we don't do that here," you know, like
yeah.
that's not really how we do it, you know, just.
And what's my answer to that always?
Yeah, yeah, sure. See how he reacts.
Yeah, my answer is treat him no different than me.
Yeah,
and it comes back to what we talked about earlier.
Right,
it's got to be consistent. If you're willing to yell at me,
yeah.
be willing to yell at them.
Right.
Okay. Now, maybe we've got a different relationship.
I was going to say, yeah, no, everyone's not quite there with him sometimes. So it's a little,
But you didn't yell at me the first year you worked.
No.
You didn't talk to me for the first year. Right. But would you yeah. be comfortable telling me something today?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And maybe you don't have that relationship with Dr. Fiza yet.
Yeah.
But I think a year in, you'd right. probably be more comfortable today. And so I always tell people, I want you to treat them the same
yes.
way you treat me.
But I would approach him differently than I would approach you yeah. because of his personality.
Yeah,
and that's the personality yeah. of the culture, you know?
Yeah, but ultimately the underlying culture is we have a two-way communication
yes.
where people, our team leads our practice.
Right.
You know, I lead the overall, this is where we want to get to.
Yeah.
Dr. Fiza is now involved and this is where we want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys execute it, but we got to take the feedback and say, hey, this isn't working, but that is working,
yeah.
and adjust accordingly.
Yeah, and I think sometimes I think to begin with, it's very important for the leaders, or so in this case, the doctors, to initiate this, to ask the team members.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to believe they would enjoy someone just coming up to them and just telling them everything that's wrong.
Sure.
So I think to begin with, they need to be in charge of asking for the feedback.
But that's where that weekly 5 to 10 minute
right.
conversation comes in.
Yeah.
You know,
and you don't want that whole conversation to be a rant either.
No. And I would encourage you to sometimes
right.
not be about the practice.
Right. Or especially things that are wrong.
Yeah. Like I need to know that you're buying a new house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because number one, I'm like, oh, she's getting a new house. So I can be a little bit more mean to her.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to leave because she's trying to buy a house. Right. But. Like, how many people don't know what's going on in their team members' lives?
A lot.
You know, how yeah. many of them don't know that the things are happening?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so to me, you got to know that because there's times you use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and there are times where you use it to your disadvantage.
Right.
And that's important to me. So, and we can say you should never take advantage of people. And I'm not saying take advantage
right.
of, but when you know that we want to get somewhere and this is my opening to do it,
right.
You know, don't be afraid. Live in a, you know, I say live in abundance. Live in the abundance that you can find. Like we've struggled finding hygienists.
Right.
Because I'm unwavering on being who I am. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, until we can't find anybody, I'm going to continue to be who I am, because we make good people from that. Uh-huh. And that's important to me.
Yeah. And so, the hygienists that we have that have made it, they've been there a long time and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they talk to friends who aren't happy and they're like, that's where I was and I didn't even know I wasn't happy.
Right.
You know, at their past offices, until they get somewhere where they really feel like it's home.
And the opposite has happened too, where they've gone somewhere else and they're like, yeah, this is a much happier place.
But that's the fit. That's the culture.
And some of us like to be driven and some of us don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's all together. So,
So I think listening with intention and avoid desire to be defensive and correct is pretty important for the doctor's place if they want that feedback to continue to come. Otherwise, if you're defensive, they're probably not going to continue to share
that. I struggle with that still.
I think everyone will be defensive a little bit, but letting them know afterwards, maybe you were, you know, I needed that. Thank you. Yeah. We'll get them to continue to give that feedback.
That's when you guys get the 6 o'clock text.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, me and Sully, I'll use that as an example. We butt heads sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes the next day I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, we were both out of line.
Yeah.
You know, with him, I can't let him know I was out of line. But, you know.
Fussy.
But.
If you can't vent to each other and you can't rant, if you can't be honest and then laugh about it later. Like, we laugh so hard because you were ranting at me one day and you told me to tell everyone thank you. That's the only thing you should be saying to people is thank you. And I said, okay. So then the next day he said something to me and I said, thank you. Yeah. You didn't catch on.
No, but.
Right, but you were just ranting and it was a good one. And I'm never going to let that go.
Yeah, you should. Just like, listen, if you don't like what they say, just say thank you.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if they, you know, if people talk, you know, this is around drama.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he said, if you don't like what somebody says, just say thank you.
How about this?
And it didn't line up at all. Like, can you help me with this? You know, so-and-so said they couldn't help. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Thank you for thinking that way.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, or when people have the drama, say thank you for letting me know. Thank you for allowing me to listen to you.
Yeah, you know, I have no comment. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
I feel like I should bow and thank you.
Thank you. You know, thank you. I'm going to move about. Yeah. Thank you for allowing me to get back to my work.
That should have been number 6. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So today we had 5 ways to fix your staff: clarify your foundation, fix your firing, communication, coaching, and training, leading by example, and creating an environment of feedback. So if you have any questions about this, you can post in our new Facebook group. You can head over to asktbone.com or you can give T-Bone a call at 510-698-2663 or you can email me at meredith@3ddentist.com.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for sharing our podcast. Our numbers are staying strong.
Yes.
We're slowly but surely growing. We need your help, you know, just continue to provide us feedback, send us the questions, give us the reviews, and tell your friends all about us. And we'll see you guys in next week's episode.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.